This is Dial a Saint introducing Saint Robert Bellarmine. It is hard to imagine that a frail person who almost died twice as a young child in the 16th century could write so well that his books are still being read, could become a leading theologian of his day, and then live to the age of 79. The hill town of Montepulciano in central Italy has always had a population of about several thousand, but can boast of a brilliant history of religious personages. It has produced 2 canonized saints, 2 popes, 12 cardinals, and 32 bishops of Italian dioceses. Its second saint was born in 1542. He had a good spiritual beginning, for a cardinal was his sponsor, and his second given name was Francis, for the Saint Francis of Assisi, who lived just 40 miles away. His mother took special interest in her 5 sons and 7 daughters, and sent them every day to the nearby church to visit our Lord, to make their confessions and hear Mass. Robert received schooling in Latin, and at first thought of a medical career, perhaps because of the good doctor who saved his life on 2 occasions when he was sick. But the town was soon visited by several followers of Ignatius of Loyola, who opened a free school and impressed him with their love of God and of learning. Robert's father favored the Dominican order, knowing that the family would benefit from the order's gifts should his son obtain the position of abbot of a monastery. But Robert's determination won out, and he was admitted into the Jesuit order 1 year later. Now Robert, whose body was so frail, began one of the most effective pulpit ministries of the time. He professed his vows, was given his cassock, and then sent to do the kitchen pots and pans before he was assigned to study in the Roman College, the forerunner of the present-day Pontifical Gregorian University in Rome. Aristotle was the popular philosopher of the day, and Latin was the universal language. Robert attended class lectures given in Latin 5 hours each day, and learned that Aristotle said the earth was the center of the universe, around which all else revolved, and the stars were fixed in crystal globes. St. Thomas also attracted Robert so much that he hand-copied all of the saint's major works for himself. But his poor health and constant headaches led his superiors to send him to teach in a small college in Florence, Italy. He walked 188 miles on foot with several companions and began to teach his students the rules of rhetoric. However, the news of Robert's ability to preach in Latin followed him, and within several weeks he was invited by the archbishop to speak in the cathedral. All who heard the small 21-year-old Robert were amazed by his performance. From then on, he was often called upon to preach, sometimes without any time to prepare. He told a friend once that by relying on his memory, he could memorize a Latin sermon more than 1 hour in length by merely reading it over once. After about a year, he was sent to teach in a small college in Mandovi, where he was told his only responsibility was to teach for about 2 hours a day. He rode a horse this time, and describes his journey as one of rain, mud, and snow. His evenings would also be long remembered, for at one inn the hostess claimed that he was the long-absent husband of her daughter, and at another he was accused of having stolen someone's money. The new college, he discovered, was very poor and understaffed. Not only did he teach every day, he was made reader to the priests during meals. He accompanied them on outdoor business, preached in the church, substituted for the doorman during his meals, and was the one responsible for waking the others in the morning. His teaching assignment was to teach Greek, although he knew only the alphabet. With all his responsibilities, he studied ahead and gradually outpaced his students until they all conversed well. He studied the sermons of the great preachers and carefully read the thoughts of the leading Catholic and Protestant thinkers. In this way, he was able to discuss modestly and with courtesy the important views held by most thinkers. He was sent to Padua, then to the Louvain in Belgium. His vast reading prepared him well, and his lecture notes were so thorough that instead of citing the usual 3 or 4 references to a particular topic, he used anywhere from 13 to 18. Even professors in other colleges obtained his notes and copied them for themselves and their students. He found many did not understand the true meaning of Scripture and church history, so he set himself to the task of learning Hebrew. He did this so well that he promised his students that if they wished, he would help them do the same. His book on Hebrew grammar was so well prepared that it was widely used for many years. But bad health caused a change, and Robert was called to Rome, where he was assigned to teach on controversial theology to a student body of 2,000. His lectures, which were usually very early in the morning, led to the beginning of his well-known books called Disputations on the Controversies of the Christian Faith. These books so fairly presented the differences between the Catholic Church and her critics that they were read by laymen and clergy, friend and foe. Those opposed to him held him in great respect. He was described by his more thoughtful opponents as a learned genius, having deep judgment and being widely read. Some thought his works could only have been written by a group of scholars. Even in Elizabethan England, which banned his books, a London bookseller said, "I have made more money out of this Jesuit than out of all the other religious writers put together." He also wrote 2 catechisms, which were used widely throughout the world up till recent times. Robert was part of a mission to Paris during the struggle between Henry of Navarre and the Catholic League. The city was placed under siege of starvation for 8 months. Many thousands died, and Robert and the remaining inhabitants suffered a great deal before the city was saved. Later, Robert was placed in charge of the Roman College and served as provincial to the Jesuit priests in Naples. Much to his dismay, in 1598, he was made a cardinal of the church. He desired to be only a simple priest, not burdened by church honors. He repeatedly asked the Pope to reconsider, even on the day of the ceremony. Finally, the Pope had to firmly tell him to stop complaining and accept the honor or face excommunication. With his new title, Robert could have become wealthy, but he refused all offers of pensions and salaries. His personal devotions did not change. His day revolved around his prayers, and the household servants knew his schedule by the time of the day he said his daily prayers. The poor of Rome also knew his schedule, and at times up to 300 people waited to greet him and ask for his help. Some of his possessions became famous. The cardinal's bed mattress was often given away to some poor person, and another had to be purchased. His personal ring was well known to the pawnbrokers, who advanced money on it to raise cash for others in need. Poor or rich, priest or cardinal, each was received with a smile and a chair drawn up by him for conversation. He had a particular love for music, and even played the violin and lute very well, and wrote several compositions. But no matter how hard he tried, the family's relatives and he were in constant conflict for the 22 years he was cardinal. He refused to allow family ties to be the basis for assistance. Almost daily he received letters from close and even distant relatives asking for money and support for their special needs. Then their requests often turned to verbal abuse when he would not change his mind. As cardinal, he was able to help the Republic of Venice return to the Church, and tried, along with others unsuccessfully, to bring about the conversion of England. Because of his learning and ability to present things openly and clearly, he was sought after as a member of many of the Church's committees and commissions. He also served as head of the Vatican Library, and was often consulted by the Pope, other cardinals, bishops, and priests and laymen for advice. In his last years, he wrote several books of meditation, The Eternal Happiness of Saints, The Mourning of the Dove, and The Art of Dying Well. He became ill in August 1621 of a fever which continued until he died at the age of 79 on the 17th of September. When news of his death spread, public veneration of the good man was so great that it was necessary to keep soldiers around his casket to prevent his admirers, both the poor and religious, from taking relics for themselves. He is buried in the church of St. Ignatius in Rome. Robert Bellarmine was declared to be a saint in 1930 and a doctor of the church in 1931. Robert directed all that he did for the love of God through his creatures for the purpose of building up God's church on earth. Like Robert, the good things we do can be for the purpose of spiritually strengthening the members of God's church. We must not let these opportunities pass by.